Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Campus Book Mart is the one and only stop for the real Southern Miss fan. From hats to sweaters and even jerseys, Campus Book Mart has you covered with all the essentials for the Southern Miss football season. With sizes from toddler to large and in charge, there is no reason to shop anywhere else. Call 601-261-9690 or visit campusbookmart.net. Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street across from USM in Hattiesburg.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
My, if you could just hear some of the things Kelly Center and I say to each other off air, they'd be pretty shocked, wouldn't they, Center?
You know, they've gotten to know us over these. How long have we been doing the show together? I know the show's over 10 years old.
About 8 years now.
Yeah. I think they probably know us pretty well by now.
Seems like 80.
What, 80 years? Yeah. Or since 1980?
No, it seems like 80 years you've been coming in here.
Which is about the same, 80 and 80 years.
Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour Friday edition. Patrick McGee from NOLA.com. No, he's not from NOLA.com anymore. He is from the Times-Picayune. He is the sports editor of the Times-Picayune. He'll be joining us a little later. Saints not looking good. Scott Watkins is going to give us his thoughts about Sun Belt football. And we're about to do our picks for the week. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studio in Hattiesburg. Opening segment sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. All right, guys, it's almost homecoming. And as we get ready for this game, let's break it down real quickly. Sun Belt Eastern Division as we enter this week of play. Georgia Southern in first place, right? 4-2 overall, 2-1 in the league. Marshall, 4-3 overall. They're in second. James Madison in third, but they're 5-1, 1-1 in the conference, followed by Coastal, ODU, App State, Georgia State. In the West, I can't believe I'm saying this. In the West, it is led by Louisiana Monroe, 3-0 in the conference, 5-1 overall.
But you know what? It's so rare that that happens, and we're not picking on Louisiana Monroe. I'm saying good for them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because it doesn't happen very often, that's for sure.
Raging Cajuns are 5-1, 2-0 in the conference, so they're a half a game behind Monroe. Texas State, 4-2, 2-0 in conference play. Then we have South Alabama, Arkansas State. Southern Miss, with a big thank you to Troy. Troy is actually in last place now, 0-3 in the league. Southern Miss next to last, 0-2, 1-5 overall. Any surprises there, boys?
Well, the biggest surprise to me was the fact that in the East, as Dima has referred to on this program, at Media Day this year, everybody was falling all over themselves, pretty much crowning App State.
Yes.
Not only the Eastern Division champion, but the conference champion. And they have had some adversity with the hurricane and so on for sure. But they're
0-3 in the conference.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a shocker.
And, of course, Monroe on the west side. And I would dare say that Southern Miss – has raised some eyebrows with its, you know, with its season. And Troy was supposed to be down, but not as far down as they have proven to be.
They look terrible.
They look really bad. I guess for me, I'm probably the most surprised about App State being 0-3, 2-4 right now. And I get the, you know, off the field things, but eventually you got to go play football, and you would expect that the team of that talent, you know, I think they even started off bad, so it's not. The hurricane kind of just added to it, if that makes sense. I don't know if we can point to the hurricane especially for that. And Marshall, 2-1, 4-3, and they looked pretty good last night. I don't know if anybody caught that game or everybody was watching, you know, the Al Smith dinner or the Guardians and the Yankees, you know.
No, and I said yesterday, man, if I were a betting person, I would have hammered Marshall -8.
Yeah, and I think Kelly did, didn't he?
And here's the bad news. Marshall, who you're talking about, James Madison, Texas State, they're still all on the Southern Miss schedule.
Oh, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. Well, speaking of standings, Who would be in first place when it comes to the picks?
Yeah, we are unchanged in the standings. So Bob Getty is still in first place. But Kelly only trails him by 1 point now. So this is a big weekend for them, too. I kind of fall off behind. I'm behind 7 points.
Seven points.
Wow. I went for upsets last week, and I lost both of them barely like that close.
Kelly, you know what I have in common with the baseball program?
What's that, Bob? What do you have in common?
When this competition is over, we'll both be back-to-back champions.
Well, just keep talking. Hey, speaking
a lot of football.
Before we get to our picks, congratulations to everybody associated with the baseball program at Southern Miss. Enormous crowd last night.
Biggest ever, I would say.
Yeah, at Pete Taylor Park. And we found out that Coach Oz was one of the seven dwarves, right?
Yes.
With Carly Makovica being Snow White, and the assistant coaches as some of the dwarfs along with some of the players. But kids were having to wait to get in. It was just such an enormous crowd. So the weather was part of it, I'm sure. But we're glad to do what we can to get the word out. And everybody seemed to have a really good time. So
that's a great, great event. Was Travis Creel, was he one of the dwarfs?
I think so. I think so. I mean, I wasn't at the event, but I saw from photos that it looked like he was a dwarf.
So that means if we don't start batting 900 out of the season, people will be demanding that we fire one of the seven dwarfs?
No, I think that would just mean that they ate the bad apple in the movie.
We like Travis Creel.
Or you'd call Coach Creel dopey, right?
Yeah. That's what Coach Creel calls the people who want him fired every year.
Well, we do too at this point.
Correct. I can't wait till week one, you know, when they win 3-0, you know, in 40-degree weather, and fire Creel.
We can't hit.
You know? Exactly right.
Game one.
Exactly right.
Well, we got some good games here, Bob.
Yeah, we do.
Let's hear it.
All right, so we're going to go with the Sun Belt slate first, as we always do each and every week. And as a reminder, we pick the games and the scores for spread and points, so that way nobody runs away with it. So let's start with a big game, I would say, gentlemen, a huge game, actually. Louisiana going on the road to Coastal Carolina in a pretty big game. Coastal Carolina is a 5-point underdog at home to the Raging Cajuns. The over-under is 56.5. We'll go Bob first.
I kind of like the Raging Cajuns, guys, but I'm going to tell you, I like Coastal at home. I'm going to take Coastal 24-17.
Okay, well, this could be one where I catch you or fall a further game back, because I'm going to take the Cajuns. They do not cover, though. I will say final score 31-28.
It's a tough game. I just think that 5-point margin is crazy to me. But, yeah, I'm going to take Coastal Carolina at home. I like them at home. That's a long trip for Louisiana. I think it's an 11 a.m. game, too. And so I'm going to take Coastal Carolina 31-28. So I'm just flipping your score. Okay. All right, so JMU at Georgia Southern. It's a 10-point spread in favor of the Dukes. They're 10-point favorites. Their runner's 58.5.
And this is a big game in the East, as Bob just went over the standings, the Sun Belt East. This is a pivotal contest. And I love Georgia Southern. You know, Gadda, my daughter, went to Georgia Southern in Statesboro. But when it comes to money and charity, I got to go with what I think is going to happen. I think the Dukes are going to win this game, and they're going to cover the 10.
Wow.
Dima, I've got the Dukes 38, the Eagles 17.
I'm along the same lines. I like James Madison. They just seem to win and everything. I'm going James Madison 38, Georgia Southern 7.
Ooh, big win.
Big win.
On the road, too. Yeah, I'm going to go James Madison. I think Georgia Southern keeps it close, but I'm with Kelly. I think at the end, kind of James Madison pulls away. So I had 31-13. So that's the point spread there. I think that's one of those games where, you know, it's like 24-13 or something in the third quarter. James Madison scores.
Yeah, but
late,
Georgia Southern away. Getting 10 at home, but we all picked Georgia Southern not to be able to even cover that.
So. That's crazy. And they're on top of the East standings.
Right.
So. All right, Texas State on the road at Old Dominion. The over-under is 10, or the over-under 61.5. Old Dominion's a 10-point underdog. Mr. Bob.
I like Texas State 28-20.
Oh, so that would be Old Dominion covering.
I'm going to take the Bobcats 24-17 that they don't cover.
Okay.
But I would hammer the under on this game.
Yeah,
61's a lot of points.
Yeah, I'm under too. I'm going to say 20-6. Texas State, 20-6. So that's them covering the points. All right, we're going to go top 25 games before we get to Southern Miss. So this is our top 25 games. We did two because they played a few Sun Belt games earlier this week that we weren't able to pick. So Alabama going on the road to Tennessee, big game for the SEC. Tennessee's a three-point underdog, home underdog. It's a 2:30 kick. Who do you got, Kelly?
I've got Tennessee winning outright.
Wow,
31-30.
Yeah, I think Alabama's shaky. I like Tennessee 28, Alabama 24.
I think both of these teams are shaky. Tennessee has not looked good the last 2 weeks. I think Alabama gets it right. They go on the road and wins this game 31-27. All right, so now the biggest game of the week. Georgia, number 5, going on the road at number 1, Texas. Texas is a 5-point favorite to the Bulldogs. Are they going to cover that, Kelly?
Yes, they are. They're going to cover, and they're going to win big. 34-17, Texas over Georgia, the Longhorns cover.
Texas 28, Georgia 14.
So I always heard in my old days, you never want to bet against the overdog with the underdog mentality. I think Georgia's the clear better team than Texas, and I'm going to pick the Bulldogs 31-24.
See, I think you're wrong. I think Texas is really, really good.
I'm taking the Bulldogs. I feel good. They're not going to lose two games. All right, so here we go. Southern Miss at home for homecoming against the Red Wolves of Arkansas State. Southern Miss is a 6.5-point home underdog to the Red Wolves. The over-under is 55. I'm under the impression that I would hammer the under in this game. Both offenses are very, very bad. I think this is going to be a 9-6 game. Quick pick, Kelly.
Yeah, I would take the under as well. I've got Arkansas State 24, Southern Miss 10.
I'm going to go Southern Miss 21, Arkansas State 17.
Okay, I'm going Arkansas State 26, Southern Miss 17.
I'm the only guy with any hope.
Well,
I can see that.
Okay, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, you're our only hope.
I have such a substantial confidence in myself. I can take a few chances.
I love how Dima said, in my old days, I'm going, what are you, 20 years old? There are no old days
yet. Speaking of teams on the snide.
Oh, boy.
Patrick McGee's next with the New Orleans Saints.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. This Friday segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathleen's got some great merchandise down there, and she's got some homecoming football tickets you should ask her about when you come in the store. Tell them you heard about the tickets on the Eagle Hour, and you might be surprised what you walk out with. We provided some tickets for her to share with her customers, and ought to get down there and take advantage of that. Patrick McGee is the sports editor of the Times-Picayune, keeps a close eye on the New Orleans Saints, as we all do. And, Patrick, you told me earlier this last night might have been a low moment for the Saints. They're so riddled with injuries. It's just right. Almost appears to be a shadow of the team we saw at the first of the season.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, they were on a short week, and they're already, you know, they were banged up going into the Buccaneers game and suffer some more injuries to turn around Thursday. It's just a really, really tall ask. But, you know, they just didn't really compete very well last night in general. They're just banged up across the board without both their top receivers. Offense, half the offensive line is out with injuries. Quarterback's out with injuries. You know, defense is, you know, at linebacker and some other spots kind of banged up in the secondary. So, and you lost Paulson Adebo to a season-ending injury last night, one of the starting cornerbacks. Marshawn Lattimore left the game early, so it's almost like the minority has become is who's healthy. I think but the most surprising aspect of this is even whenever the Saints have been banged up before, they would show up and compete. But they just, you know, in the second half of the Buccaneers game and last night, they really haven't. But, I mean, it's a tall ask for them to expect them to go out there and hang with the team with so many guys hurt.
Now, this kid that was playing quarterback last night, did he go into the season as the number two quarterback?
No, Jake Haner. Are we talking about the you talking about the guy that started last night?
Right.
Rattler. No, he was number three on the depth chart to start the season. Jake Haner was the number two, and I mean you could kind of understand some of the logic on why they went with Rattler. You know, put him out there, a mobile guy, maybe he can make things happen in a tough situation, but it really hasn't worked for him or the Saints. There's been moments where he's looked pretty good, but it's just he's playing behind a banged-up offensive line without any of the receivers. Jake Haner looked fairly sharp whenever he came in late last night, led the Saints to their only touchdown last night. So there has to be, I think they'll probably put Rattler back out there if Carr can't go. I think there's some thought that Carr can be back at practice this week, but I think that's probably optimistic. In my opinion, I mean, I think the Saints do have to consider giving Haner a shot this for the, I think it's the Chargers game that's up next.
Well, Spencer Rattler is fifth on Dima's depth chart, and the Saints only have three quarterbacks, so that tells you.
Were you impressed last night, Dima?
Well, I told you what I thought of him coming into the season, and I feel like I am vindicated.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't really blame him, though, because he has nobody to throw it to.
No, and I was going to ask, Patrick, because you know how NFL fans are. Everybody's going to be screaming for Dennis Allen's head, and is it really fair at this point?
That.
Because you can't make chicken salad out of chicken scratch, and if everybody's hurt, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you take that into account, but, I mean, this is a trend. The Saints have just not stepped up in tough situations, and I think they've lost every primetime game they've played under Dennis Allen, if I'm not mistaken, including last night. So they went from 2-0 and one or two injuries, and this team just kind of fell apart. And I know, before the season started, I said, I think, the Saints can compete, but, I mean, they're one or two injuries away from being a bad team if they have one or two injuries on the offensive line, and that happened like week three. And the dominoes just start falling from there and just seemed like everybody else got hurt on top of that. So it has been a bit of a worst case scenario for the Saints for like five straight weeks.
And the fact that you were thrashed by the former coach, Sean Payton, probably exacerbated the situation in New Orleans, fair?
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos aren't a great team. I mean, they're a solid team. They're good defensively.
Yeah.
But for them to show up and just had their way. And Nick's did not look great. He made some throws that did not look NFL caliber whatsoever. But he did really do a good job running the ball. But shoot, everybody's running the ball well on the Saints right now. They are not tackling. There's big holes in the middle of the line for running backs to go through. In the past you had kind of that defense you could kind of rely on. But right now you don't really have much of anything to rely on.
Patrick, do you buy this at halftime, some of the former NFL players that are on the halftime broadcast team were saying that they just didn't see any effort on the part of the Saints defensive players. In fact, one of them made the comment they're playing like they want to get their coach fired. They're not even trying to tackle people. Are you buying that?
No, I mean, I don't. I mean, I just think they're so banged up that even guys out there on the field are playing through some things. I know Tyrann Mathieu a week ago was out there. He missed time with injury, and I know he was probably not 100% out there turning around on a Thursday. So I think it's just everybody. DeMario Davis has also been hurt. He's not 100%. So I think it's just injuries are just really eating up that defense and team as a whole. I don't think it's really a lack of effort thing. I think they're frustrated. You saw Alvin Kamara kind of have a moment of anger where he seemed to say something to the sideline. That stuff happens, but there's frustration there, and everybody, sees this thing kind of just falling apart as they go.
Patrick, the radio play-by-play guy Kevin Kugler, with his color analyst last night on the Westwood One broadcast, was saying, depending on the severity of the injury to Shaheed and Olave, the Saints should even consider shelving both of them, even if they're eligible, in another 4, 5, 6 weeks, because essentially the season will be over at that point, and why risk further injury? Your thoughts?
I don't see that happen. I mean, I can understand why he's saying that, but I don't know if anybody saw Jim Mora Sr. went on the local TV station here in New Orleans that carried the game last night. The folks on the broadcast were saying, oh, this season's over with, and Mora just – I was probably almost thought he was going to about start dropping F-bombs or something. He was so angry about the suggestion that the Saints season is over with. He doesn't think that's the case by a long shot, but it's, you know, it's kind of hard to think otherwise. I mean, you got to, at some point now, you put yourself in position to win like 3 or 4 games in a row at some point. And this team just does not seem capable of doing that.
Yeah, Mike Triplett was reporting this morning from Dennis Allen's postgame, or rather his press conference this morning, saying that Derek Carr has a chance to start throwing in practice this week and has a chance to play against the Chargers. But even if they get Derek back, I mean, that would be a piece that you get back. But like you said, you're missing so many players on defense, and then he doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to.
Right, yeah. I mean, the guys that are out there aren't NFL starting receivers.
Right. Yeah,
Cedric Wilson has, you know, whenever he was in there, he's played a good bit off and on the season, but he's basically been non-existent. And I think Tipton, the rookie, yes. I mean, he's shown potential in the preseason, but he's not a starter. You know, I mean, it's just they don't – Bud Means isn't ready to be a starter in the NFL, even though he's shown flashes. So, yeah, I mean, the Saints were thin a receiver to start with. You know, that's why they were looking at a Davante Adams, supposedly. But now they're stuck with really nobody out there.
Well, they might not be NFL caliber, but guess what, guys? Under the circumstances, they are now.
Yeah. So as a Saints fan, Dima, how disappointed are you? Does this surprise you?
All I can say is it was a good first 2 weeks, guys. We were riding high. We beat the Cowboys, you know. It's just kind of a normal thing as a Saints fan. You weren't really expecting much after those first 2 weeks, I guess. It was kind of like, well, could this be something? I expect it not to be something, but could it be something? And it ended up being not something.
Patrick, I made fun of you a little bit at the start of the year talking about how depressed you guys sounded. You knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you asked me 2 weeks ago if I was still optimistic about the Saints team, and I was like, no. I mean, it's hard to be optimistic.
Yeah. Well, the Pelicans. The Pelicans are starting their season, Patrick. How are they going to do?
Yeah. People are going to start tuning into the Pelicans. Whenever the Saints are down, people want a winner, and they'll probably be tuned into the Pelicans a little bit more in the season.
Zion will start limping, and then, you know.
One thing, guys, and I noticed that last night, nothing deters the Saints fans.
Nope.
Man, they were dressed up. They were hollering. They were having a good time. They'll keep showing up, won't they, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a little bit easier to get your hands on a ticket. The Saints fans will still be there.
I think right now, Patrick, got about a minute left. I got to say, guys, I think the surprise in the division has got to be the Atlanta Falcons. Suddenly they look formidable, Patrick.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm surprised by the Falcons. I just didn't really know what to expect of Cousins and some of the decisions. I mean, like drafting Michael Penix, you know, the Washington quarterback. I was like, what are they doing? But obviously it's come into focus for the Falcons with Cousins at quarterback, and they've got good talent across the board. So not totally surprised, but things are making more sense now to see that team out there and compete.
Well, one of my favorite quotes was when Gail Benson hired Dennis Allen on a full-time basis. Gail Benson said, looking at Dennis Allen, "I certainly hope my football team is in competent hands." And Dennis Allen said, "It is, because we're all incompetent." So there you go.
All right, Patrick. I hope you have better news for us next week, brother.
I'm not sure.
I wouldn't count on it.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you, Patrick. Thanks, man.
All right. Later.
Patrick McGee, everybody. Times-Picayune. Boy, things look gloomy down in New Orleans, don't you?
I was going to say, you guys, the sun is shining. Let's
Golden Eagles.
I don't think we've had a positive show on this program for at least 3 months.
I think the Saints have caught eagle fever.
Oh, shit.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, our thanks to Patrick McGee for that depressing segment about the New Orleans Saints. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Hopefully it'll be better. That's where you can go. It's always better. You can go get a Pabst Blue Ribbon and a shrimp, poor boy, that'll make things a lot better.
And our tailgate group, we're actually going to pregame tomorrow at 4th Street.
Well, why do you keep saying things that damage people's business, Kelly? You got to stop this. These are our clients.
Well, the homecoming crowd is going to, you know, overwhelm the campus. So we want to be at 4th Street.
I'd like to see that before.
Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear that ridiculous statement again this afternoon on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. It's Friday. Or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Kelly excluded from that segment, of course. And I want to remind you about Mo Bay Beignet Company, where very soon we're going to have the Beignet Showdown, Part 2, between Kelly Santer and Dima Mix. And I've already got my bets in on Dima. I've seen you perform. It's pretty disappointing. 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Are you going to do better this time?
I can't do any worse.
No, you can't do any worse.
But I savor the flavor.
And you've got a big shoe to fill. 6 beignets in 4 minutes, the Luke Johnson.
I ain't doing a 6 in 4 minutes, I can guarantee you that.
Well, Luke,
it's a slow process.
Luke hammered them, buddy. All right, Scott Watkins is with the Biloxi Sun-Herald. Hadn't talked to Scott in a while, invited him on the show. He graciously came. And Scott, we were talking earlier about the surprises in the Sun Belt. We kind of all agreed that maybe the best positive surprise would be the performance of Louisiana Monroe. And in all honesty, probably the most disappointing performances have been from Southern Miss and Troy. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. ULM's definitely been a surprise. This is their best start in, you know, however many decades. And then Southern Miss and Troy, of course, have been disappointing. I think maybe, well, I'm not gonna take a stab at which one's been more disappointing. They've both been flat out terrible. But I've seen both in person at this point this year, and it's not pretty. So I definitely say that is accurate.
Well, we had the Arkansas State play-by-play voice on the show yesterday, I think, and we were all talking. Arkansas State's a little deceiving at 3-3 because their losses are at Michigan, at Iowa State, and at Texas State. They're probably a better football team than 3-3.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that kind of shows up a little bit. I thought that this week I was a little surprised looking at Bill Connolly's SP Plus advanced stuff, and it's showing that Southern Miss is the projected winner, and I think that kind of goes back to some of those really tough games that they've had to play where they just haven't looked quite as sharp. But I do think that they are a lot better than what their record suggests, and it's going to be another tough game for Southern Miss.
Well, the only thing that Southern Miss and Troy have in common is the Scott Watkins factor. You're writing about Southern Miss this year, but you're a Troy grad. Would the Troy team, Scott, and this is hypothesizing, but would the Troy team have been as bad had John Summerall stayed?
No, absolutely not, because you lost over a dozen players just to the transfer portal alone. You've got several starters over there at Tulane that followed him. They wouldn't be nearly as bad. This is an entirely new program. You swapped out 65 players, I want to say, every single person on staff. I'm not going to say that they'd win the Sun Belt again, but they wouldn't be 1-5. I think they'd beat Nevada. They'd probably beat Memphis. They'd probably be in much better shape than they are right now.
So where did the Southern Miss program get derailed, Scott, in your view?
The honest truth, you know, that probably happened long before I got here. But as far as just this season goes, you know, I think that the struggles have emanated from the line of scrimmage. I think they're getting beat at the point of attack pretty much every single play. I mean, I have to check the numbers again, but I want to say through 6 games, their opponents have 50 runs of 10-plus yards. And then on the opposite side of the ball, Southern Miss has exactly 0 rushing yards this year on 3rd and short, which is just absolutely abysmal. So I think that's kind of where everything starts from. I think they're getting beat at halftime in the locker room. You see the offensive production just fall off a cliff in the second half. Passing completion percentage drops below 50, 0 touchdowns, 4 picks. They have not converted the third down in the second half against an FBS team yet this year. It's just kind of emanated from that. I think that the adjustments that have been made are really poor, and I think the line of scrimmage play has been really poor.
Scott, when you look at our Arkansas State, you know, they don't run the ball a lot, but with their starting running back, Jaquez Cross, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He has 37 carries for 207 yards. Southern Miss, with Rodriguez Clark, double those carries at 68, and he has just 274 yards. So this guy, you know, for Arkansas State, half of the rushing attempts that Dreek Clark has and almost the same amount of yardage. I think the rushing, you know, the rushing disparity for Southern Miss football has just been, I mean, you can't even explain how bad it's been.
Yeah, yeah, that says a lot more about Southern Miss than anybody else.
Right.
It's been really bad. You and I, we've seen it in person several times this year. It's rough. It's not pretty. And that's where they're going to get beat every game. You saw at Monroe, I mean, that really showed that was a Monroe team that just had not ran the ball very well or moved the ball at all season long. And then they scored 38, a team high this season. And more than that, I believe more than they did against Jackson State.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's awful. It's bad. It's not going to get any better.
And when you look on the other side of the Sun Belt, I just wanted some more, you know, general Sun Belt stuff. Georgia Southern, 2-0, 4-2 in conference. But I think what we were talking about was one of the more surprising teams in the East is that App State's 0-3 and 2-4 overall.
Yeah, they've definitely been, I think, to me, the most surprising not good team in the Sun Belt this year. I thought they'd be the winner out of the East. I thought they'd win that division. They have not been good. I forget the coach's name, Sean Clark.
Right.
Yeah, he's had a rough tenure over there. He has not lived up to expectations. I think that there's a few hot seats in the Sun Belt right now, and that's one of the hottest.
And one of the things that he was talking about, Sean Clark, at Media Day this year, was how they got a quarterback from Southern Miss that's going to really surprise some people, a guy by the name of Billy Wiles. And I'm not even sure that I've even seen Billy Wiles' numbers this year, if he's gotten to play at all. So, and if you talk to App State fans, they're ready for a change over there. So I would think that, of you know, and it tends to be fluid anyway in any conference after the season's over. But look for Appalachian State probably to make a change in this offseason.
And Scott, the team that just keeps on keeping on, and I'm so sick of them already, is James Madison. What is the secret there?
You know, I don't know what the secret is, but I think what they did as far as getting a new coach, they went the FCS route, which I think was the best route to go. You look at James Madison and Troy, they were kind of the same boat this offseason. You didn't really know what to make of them. They had a whole new look to their program. James Madison followed the Texas State blueprint. They go and get an FCS coach. And what that does is what he's able to do, he brought with him 12 FCS transfers. A power conference coordinator is probably not going to be willing to do that. But with those FCS transfers, you have a group of guys that have familiarity with the coaching staff. You have a group of guys that have played and have played at an all-conference level and are very competitive and are very hungry now that they're at the FBS level and actually competing for a spot in the college football playoff. So you have a much stronger competitive base by going that route, whereas at Troy you kind of brought in a weird amalgamation of Power 5 transfers that did not play at all wherever they were. And you don't know what you really have in them, and you don't know what your locker room is going to look like either. So I think that's the secret this year for James Madison.
Yeah, just look, Billy Wiles has attempted one pass this year. He's 0-for-1 with one interception. So he has a minus 200 ranking.
Wow, he's off to a great start.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not exactly lighting up the Sun Belt Conference.
Scott, a big game in the Sun Belt this week is when we're talking about James Madison, or rather Coastal Carolina, also in the East. They host Louisiana in what I think is probably the biggest game of the weekend. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, that is a big one. I think that Louisiana probably has the edge, but the Cajuns are a team that likes to play very close to their opponents. They are, but I think that is one of the factors that makes them so close to the Billy Napier era Cajuns. They also run the ball extremely well, play very good defense. It's going to be Louisiana and Texas State out of the West. I think that Coastal Carolina got exposed a little bit against James Madison, so I do think Louisiana wins, but probably not by a lot.
And then James Madison on the road at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern sits atop of the East. What do you see in that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think James Madison should win that one, but Georgia Southern is a sneaky team this year. As long as they just show a little sign of life on defense and move the ball consistently on offense, they can spring an upset there. James Madison has shown a pretty wild ability to be just extremely inconsistent offensively, going from scoring just a million points to 13 practically overnight. And that could show up in a game like Georgia Southern. That's a trap game.
And Southern Miss is hosting Arkansas State. We were talking about how the over-under set at 55, and we were all saying to hammer the under.
Yeah, absolutely. Hammer that under. Yeah, I don't see more than like 35 points being scored in a game.
All right, Scott, we really appreciate your input. Always good stuff, man. We'll make sure we get back in touch with you the week of that Troy-Southern Miss game. You can break that one down.
No problem.
We'll be talking to you before then. Thanks, Scott. Scott Watkins,
absolutely.
Everybody.
As it looks
at
now,
the Biloxi Sun-Herald.
That Southern Miss Troy game is going to be sponsored by the Pillow Guy. That's a big with Donald Trump.
Is it possible for both teams to score in the negatives?
No.
You guys are terrible.
No.
You guys are terrible. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank our good friends at DBAT on Hardy Street for sponsoring our program. It's a great place to do some Christmas shopping. Big pro shop in DBAT. And if you've got a ball player in your family, I guarantee you there's something there they'll like. Also, as for Luke Reynolds, he's the manager, former Golden Eagle great, and he can set your kids up with great training. All right. Couple quick notes. Will East normally with us on Friday. Will's out of the state today. We'll get back into previewing more high school games next week. And Kelly, in a moment, if there's something you think should be reported on that, you feel free. And this is always a great pleasure of mine. I was just notified of a new sponsor joining our show Monday, Enda Bay Spring Water. Enda Bay Spring Water will be joining the Eagle Hour starting on Monday, October the 21st. We'll have a lot of information for you on Monday's show about that great new sponsor, and we really thank them for joining the Eagle Hour family.
And we thank a lot of you for listening, because it's the numbers on this program are really astonishing.
Pretty good.
You know, yeah, yeah,
good.
And you are the ones that that make it that way.
It certainly couldn't be you and I.
No.
Okay, we're aware of that.
We're along for the ride.
Yeah.
Southern Miss Volleyball, the news, guess what, Bob? Not good.
No.
No.
Let me hear it.
South Alabama came to town last night, and
what a surprise, South Alabama.
Well, at least it wasn't James D. Madison.
Right.
Volleyball upset last night, I would say, by South Al. Although South Al's, you know, decent, but the Lady Eagles will get a chance to revenge. They'll get some revenge tonight at 6 o'clock at the volleyball.
They're
complex.
Really doing pretty well, though.
Yeah, they are. They're having a good season, and we had a chance to talk with Isabel Schoenberg last week, and I know we're going to air that interview at some point next week. With Jenny Hazelwood and Sonny Shepherd, who's on that team as well. Okay. So those will all become it. But they'll play again tonight at 6 o'clock. Only thing really on the schedule, you know, tennis is at the Crimson Invitational this weekend, but they're on the road. And, of course, homecoming. Tailgate spots opened up at noon today, and Spirit Park will be open tomorrow, beginning at 1 o'clock with music, live music going on, and then they'll close the park at 5:30. People get ready for the 6 o'clock kickoff. The Eagles against the Red Wolves of Arkansas State. Now, Arkansas State used to be the Indians.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? Northeastern Louisiana used to be the Indians.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And both of those teams, of course, have changed
their
names.
But you do know, Kelly, that since those names were changed, the Cleveland Indians, the Washington, have you not noticed how the lives of Native Americans have been so vastly improved?
Actually, I don't keep track like I should, Bob. But it is interesting that some...
Well, they haven't. Let me tell you that.
That some areas, you know, want to make those changes, but you've still got the Kansas City Chiefs. you know, that are the Chicago Blackhawks in the National Hockey League.
Atlanta Braves.
So you still have some teams that will do that. The political part of it is just what's really
interesting. It amazes me that we want to erase the great Native American culture from today's culture. And, you know, my wife and I went to Wyoming a couple of years ago, and I'll tell you, Kelly, one of the most magnificent things I have ever seen is the American Native, the Native American National Museum in Cody, Wyoming. And we spent a day there, and it illustrated what an incredibly beautiful culture Native Americans were when this country was first explored and founded, and what a terrible tragedy it is what's happened to them. It's a real sore spot with me. I just think it's something that we should all be pretty ashamed of.
Well, Montana and Wyoming and all that part of the country, really, really pretty, but not very populated.
Correct.
You know, and I think you'd probably have to blame it on winter, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would have thought there was plenty of open country for those good people to live in. You know, you would have thought. But anyway, enough of that. Okay. Show, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So, and again, Pete Taylor Park last night, trick-or-treat
awesome.
At the Pete. Yeah, how about that? I mean, there were two-footers and three-footers, little kids running everywhere last night.
Michael Mergens had his child there. He says probably the biggest crowd they've ever seen. Pictures of it look like it was enormous.
Weather has a lot to do with the turnout. Pearl River, congratulations to the Wildcat football team. They upset East Mississippi last night down in Poplarville, so a big win for them. Jones, it's homecoming on campus at Jones. They'll have their game normally scheduled for Thursday, but they will play tomorrow. And a big South Division matchup, as it turns out, because they'll host East Central tomorrow in Ellisville. So,
and what about those Bulldogs now?
The Holmes Bulldogs win it in the last seconds of
the
game.
They're 7-0 now?
And defeated Itawamba. So that pretty much locks down a playoff spot for them. Pretty much. Don't know if they're going to be the 1 or 2 seed. And they still have a couple of teams, including East Mississippi, still to go. We'll find out how that shakes out, here toward the end of the year.
Big improvement year for Pearl River, hadn't it?
Yeah, and in fact, they could, Pearl River won. They scored a touchdown. Former Oak Grove quarterback Kay Barnett threw a big touchdown pass with about a minute and a half left in the game for them to win that one. They've got Hines and Jones left on the schedule. Jones is good, but they're not what they've been. So if Pearl River were to beat Hines and Jones, wow, Pearl River could finish 6-3, which would be a
them.
Big turnaround.
Good for them. Yeah. All right, it's homecoming. Hope everybody shows up. Hope everybody comes and enjoys the afternoon and supports the Golden Eagles in the ball game. I got a good feeling about it, Kelly. I think they're going to play a lot better tomorrow.
And a lot of the former football players will be hanging out at Fuzzy's, like they always do at homecoming. That kind of seems to be the meeting place. So
right. Good deal. All right, we'll have all the news and information about the game, and Coach Will Hall on the show Monday. We hope you'll join us. Thanks, as always, for listening. Have a safe weekend, a good weekend, and until the next time we talk Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.